Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. My name is Jared Houle, and I am the grandson of Billy Brim. I call her Mimi, and she's out for the week, as I told you guys yesterday. And this week, we have a special guest with my mother here, Brenda, and a special guest, Gail Naidu, and she has a wonderful testimony. And if you guys want to chirp in any time, but her testimony from Johannesburg, Africa, coming kind of in the background of Hindu, right? And so yesterday you kind of reviewed kind of the beginning up to your search, up to the when you had the revelation of this isn't, you said in your mid-20s, about this isn't really the through Hinduism, it really isn't fulfilling. So right. If you want to, you can feel free
Jared,
to share.
I finally came to the point where there was no reality to my beliefs in Hinduism. You see, the problem is there's over 2,000 different gods in Hinduism. And all the books I was reading, all the Sanskrits, everything I was searching for, it's reading material, but it's not life-changing. There's no life to it. And we do know, you know, when you enter into seeking a relationship with God, you know he's real and you know he changes things when he comes. And when you enter into a relationship, and this was not happening. And with the 2,000 different Hindu gods and reading and searching, I was expanding knowledge, but that's all it was. It was empty. It was all in vain.
Right.
And this left me very, very empty and still broken. And
frustrated.
Disillusioned.
Right.
Completely, yes.
Right.
In my search.
Right. So I remember, I remember talking to you because you've been here for a couple of years. I mean, in the States, how long have you been in the States?
Two and a half years.
Yeah. And you've been in Branson since last year.
A full year. This is my second year in Branson.
And I remember you said, I thought it was really interesting. I'm just going to throw this in there for you to talk about. But when you went to the temple, you said that they prayed over you and they saw that you were special. Or can you kind of give that story? Because I thought that was real interesting because I knew that in the spirit realm, those spirits saw something. They're trying to play off that and
yes,
and use you for other things other than what the father wanted.
Definitely. Yes, I was 18 years old and my mom has two aunts who has big, huge temples in Benoni, which is the eastern part of Johannesburg, South Africa. And these, a lot of people go there yearly and weekly. They get what you call the trance. They do all these prayers, these big, massive prayers. So all Hindu people know these two temples, which are my aunt, my mom's aunts.
So special, like they're looked up to.
They're the ones that get the trance. It's big. All Hindus know about these two temples. And my mom took me there, and I remember being 18 years old. And they prayed over me, and they did all sorts of rituals over me. And they specifically told me and told my mother, I'm not allowed to get married, and I can't marry anybody. I can't marry just anybody. And before I ever marry, I must come back to them with the person, but I'm not allowed to just marry anybody because there's something about my life. And to bring the person when I do decide to get married. Well, and I was 18 years old, and I remember them doing a whole bunch of prayers over me and speaking things over my life. And being a Hindu, you know, you don't think much of it, and 18 years old. But later on, those prayers really affected my life.
And how's that?
Really. For the simple reason, Jared, in Hindu homes, back in the day when I was growing up, I know things are different now. You know, you stayed at home until you got married. It was to honor your parents. You remained a virgin and you got married and you left your parents' home the day you were getting married. So because we came from a totally dysfunctional alcoholic home, we as Hindus would say that is my pride and dignity. That was the Hindu talk.
Oh, right.
It's your pride and dignity to get married a virgin and leave from your parents' home. And I thought, you know, from coming from such a terrible home, there was nothing left I had to offer my husband than being a virgin. And that was my pride and dignity, okay, back then. So what had happened was I started dating this guy. We were friends for a year. I dated for 3 years, and then we decided to get married. What had happened was, on the day that I was getting married, I left my parents' home, so I honored them. as a Hindu daughter should. Left my parents, went to the temple, got married, but it was very sad. Did get married a virgin, but it was very sad. After 7 months, the guy up and left, and I was totally devastated. I blamed myself, and I thought something was wrong with me. Didn't understand at the time. Only later on to find out that the guy had left, and he was busy involved with a lady with two kids, a married lady with two kids. So long story short, every day I would go to work and come back and just cry. Go to work, come back and just cry. I waited in the apartment because I moved out of my parents' home. It was the first time living on my own, and the guy was not there, and he had gone after 7 months. So I waited in the apartment for 2 months for him to come back.
Wow.
Didn't hear from him, and this was someone I knew for 4 years. So this was really crazy, you know, back then.
Right.
And he never appeared. He never came back after 2 months. Never called. Didn't understand what was going on. I blamed everything on myself. So what did I do? Not used to staying on my own. I moved back to the crazy house that I came out of. And moved back. And my dad obviously was still drinking, fighting, whatever. And I couldn't deal with what I had just gone through. I had to deal with what was going on in the home again. So it was a very, very messy situation, just dealing with him and the abuse and the fighting and the drinking. So I would just go to work, come back and just cry. And weekends, stay in the room with, in my pajamas and just cry. And this went on for a period of 3 months where I would just stay in my room and cry. And obviously, looking back now, it was all the brokenness surfacing from childhood. But at the time, I didn't know all of that. So I would just be crying every weekend, but go to work Monday to Friday. And it came down to March 1995. It was March 1995, exactly 5 months after the guy had left, 3 months back in my alcoholic dysfunctional home. I remember crying from that morning, 8 o'clock till 8 o'clock that night. My eyes were all puffy. My dad was busy drinking, shouting, screaming, fighting. I just all I said, I was not suicidal, but there was such excruciating pain coming up from the inside of me. I couldn't understand where all this pain was coming from, and all I kept on doing while I was crying was saying, God help me, God help me, God help me. That's all I was saying as I was crying the entire day. I don't want to live with this pain. I don't want to live with this pain. God help me. And I didn't know that in my cries, I was crying out to God. And the most amazing thing happened. That night, I got a migraine because of crying from 8 that morning. And reasoned in my mind that I would just jump into bed to get rid of this migraine that had appeared at 8 o'clock that night. So I decided to jump into bed, fell off to sleep, and started to dream. And this is where my life gets changed forever. And this is amazing. So I started to dream, and in the dream, the Lord Jesus appeared to me in the dream. I was Hindu. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know.
So previously, you've never heard. No one's told you about Jesus. Really?
No. I didn't know who Jesus was.
Wow.
Or anything about Jesus. But in the dream, the Lord Jesus appears to me. And I knew that I knew that I knew that it was the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
Without knowing him previously, yes, I knew. It is something about the magnificence, magnificent presence of the Lord when he appears, he reveals himself. You just know he's all, you know. And I knew he was the Lord Jesus, and he stood face to face and he looked at me, and I knew that he was Jesus. And as I was looking at him, I was in awe. This reverential awe was all over me, and I was looking at him, and it was an awe, amazement, it was wonder, and he looked at me, and I was looking at him, and I saw him reach out his hand, and he placed his hand on my shoulder, and he looked at me in the eyes, and he said, Gail. And I remember in my mind thinking, wow, he knows my name. Right. He knows my name. And I'm saying this in my mind as he said, Gail. And he said, Gail, come and have a personal relationship with me. you know, even as I tell it now, I'm actually looking at that scene as I'm telling it, because you never forget it. That right. happened in March 1995 on a Saturday night, and it's like it happened yesterday. You right. never forget mm-hmm. once you have an encounter with the Lord. Right. Mm-hmm. And he said, Gail, come and have a personal relationship with me, because he's so strategic, because he knew I was seeking for God. In Hinduism all those years, but found no reality to my beliefs. He knew I was seeking for love, acceptance, security, self-worth, and he's all of that. And that's why he used the words, come and have a personal relationship with me. And the invitation was an answer to all my needs, that and all my searching and all my seeking and all my brokenness. Right. He was the answer.
And you knew that.
Yes.
In that dream.
In that moment. And his eyes were so filled with love for me that and when he placed his hand, it was him saying, you know, in his own special way, you are mine, you are mine. Hmm. You know, it gave me that sense, that feeling, that belonging. I am his. He's affirming me like how a dad should affirm a daughter. He was affirming me as a woman before him. And a broken, messed up, forsaken, betrayed woman, rejected. And it was so beautiful. But the most amazing thing about that, Jared and Pastor Brenda, was that I was crying the entire Saturday from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. And I was crying out to God. None of the 2,000 Hindu gods showed up. Mm-hmm. Only the real, true, right. living God showed up.
Because your heart... Your true heart, I really believe this, if someone from their heart cries out to the Lord, he answers. He has to answer, because he is a, it says that God is a spirit. And I don't think that is something that as the Father has reserved, that he will not let the enemy get. And they might cry from their soul or their own self, whatever. But when there is a cry from that spirit, the Father, he answers that spirit, because he is the Father of spirits, as he says in the Word. So I want you to tell more about, how much time do we have? We have a little bit more time, but I want you us to pick up on that, because when you told me about when you saw the Lord, we went out to dinner one time, and you talked about the love that came from him. And I think when we pick up tomorrow, we'll just kind of talk about that love, because I really believe we're in the time of him. He's always wanting to reveal his love, but there, at this end time, he is. It's as we open our hearts to him, there's a revelation, a greater revelation of it to the church, because our hearts are tuning in, and it's time now for the glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle or blemish. So,
Mom, he like this year, I really feel like you said he's revealing himself, his love, and just like he did to Israel, he's revealing his glory, and he's demonstrated and he's preparing his bride. And I know those meetings Mimi's having March 23rd through the 26th at the Glorious Church. You guys can go online at billybrim.org for any information. But I know that is what that meeting's going to be about. And the purpose of that meeting is for the display of his love and glory. Shalom, shalom.